All right, so I had a first yesterday, a first. Dawn and I were making visits, had a good group of folks out visiting yesterday. We were able to share the gospel with another number of people and actually lead a few people to Christ. So Dawn and I are at this house with these three brothers. And man, they all got saved, all three of them did. And so I like to play a game when I'm with them, when I'm talking to new people. I like to guess their age. I feel like I'm pretty good at that. Well, the first brother, I was way off. He was 22, and I guessed him way too young. And then the next brother, I guessed him way too old. I'm like, this is not good. And the third brother, I got him right on, so one out of three. And I said, you want to guess how old I am? Because honestly, nobody guesses my age that doesn't know me. Nobody guesses my age. And I'm waiting to hear this response in front of my wife, you know. I'm waiting, you know, maybe, anyways. And the first answer was 56. I said, what? Are you kidding me? That was just a random number. That's certainly. How many of you don't want people to guess your age? I decided I'm not playing that game anymore. That is no fun. At least the older brother looks surprised. I'm like, yes. And then we told them, yeah, we've got a 31-year-old daughter and a 29-year-old daughter. And then they went, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want there. So, all right. You know, the guy's got to know how to make himself feel good when he's out visiting. So, all right, if you're able to stand, Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through, I hear you over there. Verse 33 through verse 41. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, hey, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? So the scribes and Pharisees that had listened to the parable answered. They say unto him, well, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Well, they were correct. And in essence, they were pronouncing their own judgment. I'm going to hold off on the title. We have a lot of introductory work to do here, so let me pray with you. Father, may you bless the message and minister to our hearts. I'm thankful for your grace that has been planted in my heart and in the hearts of so many in this room. And I'm thankful for the evidence of that grace, the fruit. And I pray, Father, that you'd minister to everyone here in such a way they'd feel the message is for them personally. May the Spirit of God awaken people to your presence. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you, honey. All right, so let's jump into this passage here in Matthew 21. Think that's odd? Think I can do that? That way y'all can say amen. We can record you. Hallelujah. Or I don't like that. That still matters. Okay. All right, so in our passage, last week, the scribes, Pharisees, and the religious leaders had questioned the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted his credentials, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm reviewing with you. He said, I'll tell you what, he said, if you tell me by what authority John preached, whether it was heaven or of men, if you answer me, I'll answer you. Well, they huddled up, consulted, and they couldn't figure it out. Well, they could figure it out. Honestly, they could. They reasoned amongst themselves and understood that if they say of heaven, then we're condemning ourselves. We don't want to do that. And if we say of men, well, the people believed he was a prophet and will turn the people against us and we'll lose favor and we'll lose finance. Can't do that. So we're going to plead the fifth. We don't know, sir. We do not know. And the Lord looked at them and said, he didn't say it this, but my brain is like, yeah, you know. But he said, well, I'm not going to tell you by what authority I preach either. You've obviously rejected God's authority. And then he goes on, he gives a parable, which I'm not going to preach on. We didn't read it, but he gives a parable of a father who had two sons. And he says, let me ask you guys this. He says, here's this dad. He had two boys. He has this vineyard. And he said, fellas, he went to one. He said, I need you to come help me. And the one said, no, I can't do it. But later on, he repented and helped. And he said, I had another boy. When I went to him, he said, yeah, dad, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. But he never ended up helping. And he looked at the Pharisees. He said, which one obeyed the father? And they said, well, we suppose the first, the one that repented. He said, oh, you've said right. I got another story for you, he says. And so what he's doing, he's revealing their hypocrisy in that parable. In this parable, he's going to reveal their motive. He says, here's another story. He said, there's this householder. He purchased a vineyard. He hedged it up. Planted a vineyard. Hedged it up. And he said he left it in the hands of some husbandmen or stewards to take care of it. And when he returned, he was expecting to get fruit from it. Well, in the meantime, while he was in a far country, he sent some servants to go investigate and bring some of the produce. Well, these servants showed up and said, so how's the vineyard doing? The owner sent us. And they looked at each other and they said, well, we've been working hard and we haven't seen him in a long time. We didn't think he was coming back. What are we going to do? And they started roughing these guys up. Actually beat one up. They threw stones at another one. They killed one. Well, the owner sent more servants. Same thing happened to them. The owner finally says, I'm going to send my son. Well, he sent his son, and he says, surely they're going to respect, reverence my son. And he says, Jesus looks at these scribes, Pharisees, religious leaders, and he says, so he sent his son. And when they saw the son approaching, they decided amongst themselves, hey, that's the heir. Let's kill him, and that way it's all ours. And that's exactly what they did. And, of course, the Lord Jesus was referring to them. Of course, he's the Son of God. And he was referring to what they were going to do to him. By the way, he was going to allow them to crucify him, but that was their motive. Their intention was to kill the Son. And so at the end of the story, the Lord looks at them and says, so what do you think the owner's going to do to those stewards? And apparently they didn't quite get it. They were like David when Nathan pointed the finger at him. And they said, well, they're going to be destroyed. They're wicked. And then that vineyard is going to be given to some other people to be taken care of. And Jesus said, well, you're correct. And he goes on and gives us another illustration of a scripture in the Old Testament about this cornerstone, the cornerstone being rejected, and how it will grind those to powder who reject it. And they understood that this was all about them. A little slow, but they got it. They got it. So that's our context. That's the story behind this. And I want to try to give you some application. So by review, to see if you were listening, this is a multiple choice. Who planted the vineyard? The householder or the husbandman? Correct. Which means he was the owner? He's the owner. Okay, the responsibility of the husbandman was to take care of the vineyard, to cultivate it, and to glean the produce and have it ready for the owner. And so we've discussed already the treatment the owner's servants received, and we've already discussed what the stewards expect from the owner when he arrives. And so let me tell you exactly what Christ is talking about here. The nation of Israel was taken out of Egypt by the grace of God. They were taken out of Egypt by the grace of God. In Egypt, they were in bondage. You need to follow with me. This introduction is going to be a little bit longer. They didn't earn it. There's nothing they did to deserve this grace. But God, in his covenant to Abraham, made this promise, and he, in his mercy and his love and his grace, lifted Israel out of Canaan land, or out of Egypt, and planted them in Canaan land. God, in his mercy and grace. And he planted them there, listen to this, and he gave them the word of God, the laws of God, through Moses, to produce fruit, righteousness. The kind of fruit that brings glory to God and hope and help to humanity. He planted them there to bear fruit, and they had the resources to do it. But in time, they proved as a nation unable to produce fruit. When they were wayward and God sent servants to preach, they rejected these servants over and over and over, and sometimes they stoned and murdered those servants of God. And finally, the day has now come. Jesus has arrived on the scene. He's there in Jerusalem. He's there to let them know the Son is here, and I'm looking for fruit. I'm not seeing any. And I know what you're going to do. And they're going to take the Son, and they're going to crucify him. That's what's going on. Now, because Israel was his vine, and by the way, Israel is called a vine, they were to produce fruit. But instead, they produced wild fruit. They had taken the role of owners and not stewards of the grace and mercy of God. Every nation that has received God's grace has a responsibility to produce fruits of righteousness. Amen. I would even go all the way as far back as Babylon. God allowed Babylon to conquer Israel, and God allowed Babylon to flourish, but they floundered. God allowed the Medes and Persians to conquer Babylon. God allowed it, and they floundered. God allowed the Grecians, or the Greeks, to conquer the Medes and Persians, and they floundered. God allowed the Romans to conquer, and they floundered. God, in his mercy, allowed England to prosper in such a way that at one time they sent missionaries throughout the whole world. But that England is long gone. God raised up America. He planted people in America for the gospel's sake. And America has been a blessed country. And there was a time when we could say, yes, her righteousness has exalted her before God, but not no more. Righteousness does exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So, God deals with nations this way, especially nations who have been planted, who have received His grace. But God also deals with churches. Churches. The very fact that there is a church like this assembled together is the grace of God. It is a marvel to me that God would bring an assembly of people together on a Sunday morning, beautiful day, to get around the Word of God and sing praises to His name when there's so many other things you could be doing. It is a marvel to me. It is evidence of the grace of God working in an assembly's heart. Wow, this is a marvel. And how people would commit themselves to a local church and say, that's my church, and just be part of this church. This church has received much grace. Would we agree? And any church or any nation that has received much grace, God expects fruit. Amen. And what God expects, He inspects. What God expects, He inspects. There are seasons in the church where God sends inspectors to see how the fruit is coming along. But we need to break this down right down to the individual sitting in the chair right where you're at. You see, every individual who has been a recipient of God's grace should also expect to be inspected. How many of you can say, I am a recipient of the grace of God? We got double-handed. Amen. Yeah, that's right. If you're saved, you are. You are. If you have received Christ as your Savior, you are a recipient of the grace. God has planted His grace in your heart to produce fruit, righteous fruit, fruit that brings Him glory, fruit that benefits your fellow man, and fruit that fulfills your spirit and your heart. Allow me to, again, go through the Bible and use illustrations about individuals. Would you all say that Joseph was a recipient of God's grace? Definitely. God sent an inspector to Joseph, and don't misunderstand me, but he found out that Joseph was a man of temperance and self-discipline who could deny himself and say no to temptation. That's what was revealed. That would be the report. God sent an inspector to Paul and Silas after they'd been beaten and thrown in jail and locked up. And he found joy in tribulation bursting from their spirit, their hearts. He wanted to hear them sing and praise His name, even in the dark cell. God sent an inspector to the Apostle John while he was on the island of Patmos all alone, and yet he found that man. This is what he found. He found faithfulness in worship. John would say, I was on the island of Patmos for the Lord's sake, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Even though I couldn't assemble with people, even though I wanted to, but I couldn't, I wasn't going to forsake my Savior. He sent inspectors to Job one after the other. Job, a wealthy man. Job, a man who is living for God, honoring God, fears God. And the devil comes by one day and says, Job's serving you for all that you've given him. God says, oh no. Go ahead and inspect. And so, sure enough, Inspector One shows up and takes all of his wealth. Inspector Two shows up and takes his children. Inspector Three shows up and takes his health. Inspector Four shows up and stirs up his wife, who doesn't understand what's going on, who says, how long are you going to retain your integrity? Curse God and die. He sends another inspectors, a few more. And these friends arrive and they sit quietly for 7 days, but eventually they open their mouths and reveal the nonsense. And they begin accusing him of evil, of secret sins. And Job has to stand his guard. And through it all, God says, yeah, I see the fruit of patience. And I see the fruit of faithfulness. And I see the fruit of righteousness. And so does everybody else, and so will everybody else. You can be sure he will send inspectors your way if you have received his grace. You can be absolutely sure inspectors are coming your way. Oh, that doesn't sound very appealing. Oh, no. You need to know. If you're a recipient of God's grace, you're a child of God. If you're a recipient of God's grace, this world's not your home. You're just passing through. If you're a recipient of God's grace, listen, we're not living for this world. We're living for the next. You see, and fruit is expected. And Jesus said, I am the true vine. There's a lot of artificial vines out there we think we can find life from. But no. He's the true vine. And he says, you abide in me and I in you, and you'll bear fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true vine. By the way, speaking of the true vine, let's consider Jesus. Let's consider Jesus. Potiphar, after interviewing Jesus, would say to Herod and the scribes and Pharisees, I find no fault in him. Amen. The religious leaders even knew they had to lie. And the Bible says, for envy's sake, they crucified him. Not for any blemish, iniquity, sin that he had committed. You see, he was inspected. He was inspected by men, by circumstances, and he's flawless. All that is manifest is fruit. Righteous, glorious fruit that brought glory to God and salvation to you and I. Yes, if you are a recipient, of course, Jesus is the giver, but as a man, he allowed himself to be inspected. Sometimes God sends inspectors through very difficult people. You know that person you work with that they're rude no matter how you feel that day. You can't forget this. You're a recipient of God's grace. And if they're putting the squeeze on you, if they're putting pressure on you, it's just an opportunity to see whether or not you have some righteous fruit or fleshly fruit. You see, remember what those servants did in the parable. They didn't like the idea of losing what they believed to be theirs. It's like they forgot. It's like they forgot who owned it, who planted it, who prepared it, who gave them the job. It's like they forgot. And so when time came, they didn't want to lose it now because they forgot. And so they are not just rude, but they're mean, they're hateful, they're malicious. We better be careful about our behavior when people don't treat us right. Don't think you're any better than those wicked servants if righteous fruit is not being manifest from you when you have to deal with difficult people. It's just a fruit inspector. That's all. You know, find out, man, I'm being criticized. I got people slandering me. And things you can't control, friend, don't let it control you. Sometimes they come through cynics and critics. Sometimes they come through those who have been promoted over you. Huh? Well, sure. Well, how could they get that job? I did a better job. Hold the coffee. Listen to me. You see, every one of us have sinful hearts. And it is the grace of God that we're saved. Amen. And it is by the grace of God we can bridle our sinful hearts and produce fruits of righteousness. If we do not, then we're going to be naturally sinful in our responses. And when you see somebody getting accolades or applause above you or doing something better than you, and sometimes if you have a real competitive nature, and I do, I've got a competitive nature, and you do, man, you got to fight that thing. Come on. Am I the only one? All right. And all you can say to yourself is, this must be a fruit inspector. The fruit inspector has arrived. And they didn't tell me they were coming. They didn't give me any notice. They just showed up. And I wasn't ready for them. Well, that's telling us something there. Because we need to abide in Christ all the time. We don't know when He's going to return. Nor do we know when we're going to be inspected. But we do know, without Him, we can do nothing. We do know we're to be in prayer without ceasing. We do know we're to continually abide in Christ and fellowship with Christ. Whether the inspectors arrived, whether the trumpets have sounded or not. I need Thee every hour. Sometimes, well, let me say this. They came to Judas and found the love of money. But they came to Micaiah and found a man who could not be bought. They came to King Saul and found a man filled with pride and envy. Come on. Saul has slain his thousands. But David has slain his 10,000s. And you're the king and you hear that. I said, and you're the king, and you hear that. That's going to be a test. I read that, and I say, you know, the natural man understands Saul. But we can't live the Christian life without Christ. Without fellowship. And certainly without humility. And so what happens when the fruit inspectors came in the form of cheerleaders? Envy is brought to the surface and malice. But you know what? They came to John the Baptist too. John, you know, the man you baptized, he's down the river. There's actually more people following him than following you. What do you think about that, John? And John says, well, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's the fruit that was inspected. They came to the 12 spies in Canaan land, and they found 10 of them cowards. As they said, hey, we can't do it. There's giants. Yes, the land's beautiful. Oh, the ground, agriculturally, we can produce there. But there's giants in the land. We look like little baby grasshoppers. No way. You people don't want to do that. After they had witnessed what God had done for them in Egypt, they still don't believe God can knock down a few giants. And so the fruit inspectors came in the form of giants and found 10 cowards, but they also found 2 men of courage, Caleb and Joshua. Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. Our God is able. Amen. Our God is able. God is only pleased with heavenly fruit, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Only. I think if we'd remind ourselves when we're on the road and somebody cuts us off, could that be a fruit inspector? Or they honk the horn, speed up when they can't see the car in front of you going slow. I got a fruit inspector behind me. Or at the grocery store and you're in a hurry and every line is full and the self-checkout lines are a mile long. Could it be a fruit inspector? I've been just playing golf yesterday, Ben. Well, I don't know where you're at, Ben. Where's Ben? There you are. Just playing golf yesterday, Ben, I can tell you the fruit inspector came. After I hit 3 out of bounds in a row, I mean, I was feeling bad fruit. And I thought, well, Ben's here. It wouldn't be wise for me to lose my temper. I wish he wasn't here. But ladies and gentlemen, we just need to get a hold of the fact that God is always sending inspectors to our lives to see what kind of fruit are you going to give me? Or are you going to be mean? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to lose your temper? Can I tell you that heavenly fruit is the most tasty, most edible, most encouraging, most exemplary? It has the biggest appeal. Can I tell you that? Heavenly fruit does. Can you see Jesus on the cross when he says, Father, forgive them, and then moments later, the thief next to him says, Lord, remember me. And he'd been mocking him prior to that. But he witnessed this heavenly fruit. Now, where there is this good, authentic, genuine, heavenly fruit, I'm telling you, that people are going to be drawn to that. My wife and I and the kids, they like to go, well, they like to go. I go, because I like to be with them, go to the apple orchard in September. And so we were over at Stuckey's, and I don't know if the Honeycrisp are out or not, but the next best apple we were looking for. And I mean, if you've ever been there, there's just row upon row upon row upon row, different varieties of apples and that sort of thing. And of course, had the little guy with us, and he's sampling every single one. And I thought, I took him with me because I thought, hey, bud, you and I are going to go find the best aisle of trees, best row of trees. And man, we're buzzing around, and we are not finding anything. And so I'm thinking, well, where's the ladies at? So I backtrack, and I've got him with me, and man, I see a large gathering of people. I thought, oh, where are they at? And sure enough, that's where my wife was, and Brianna, and I don't know if Pete was with us or not, if your mom was with us, but large gathering of people, and man, they're just filling their little bags. And I said, well, are these the good ones? And they said, yeah. I thought, well, we better get at it. And I'm looking at that thinking, well, ain't that the truth? Everybody knows where the good fruit is. Or they're going to find it. And when they find it, that's where they're going to hang out. And if you and I want to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, when the fruit inspector comes, we better ask ourselves, what's going to come to the surface? The grace of God or the old man? Am I going to try to manhandle the situation? Or am I going to let the Spirit of God lead and guide and direct the situation? You see, that needs to be a predetermined decision, ladies and gentlemen, because they're going to come whether you expect them or not. They're going to come without invitation. You and I just ought to know. Hey, these fellas in the parable, they should have known the owner was sending inspectors. They should have received them. But no, they manhandled them. This is something I can take with me all week long. It was easy to think about all week long. Yes, here and here and here's another one. There's another one. For crying out loud, I don't even want to go outside. They keep showing up. So I better make sure I'm abiding, man. I better make sure I'm abiding. And you better make sure you're abiding. Because we sure are weak without him. Let me say this. If you have not received Christ, if you're not a child of God, if you do not have a certainty about your heavenly home, you don't even have the capacity within you to handle you're not even going to be inspected because you're lost. I'm not saying trouble doesn't come to everybody, it does. But troubles come to Christians for divine purposes. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We pray that you bless the service and minister to our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help everybody in the house. Help us to be ready, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to produce those fruits of patience, faithfulness, temperance, self-discipline, kindness, humility, mercy, love, meekness. I pray that your Holy Ghost would work in us that way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask this question. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who'd say, preacher, I don't even know that I'll go to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell, but I am not certain that I'm going to go to heaven. And I'd ask you to pray for me. If you'd lift your hand up so I can see it, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Say, that's me. Pray for me. I am not certain. I don't want to go to hell, but I am not certain I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Anybody? Okay. All right. All right. Let me ask this. Maybe you're out there and you'd say, preacher, the Lord has spoken to me personally, and I know there's some decisions I need to make for Christ, and I'm asking you to pray for me. If you lift your hand, I will. Anybody like that? Say, that's me. Pray for me. All right. Father, bless those that have raised their hands. Encourage and strengthen them today. And we are grateful, Lord, for the grace, the overwhelming love that you have showed us by redeeming us, giving us hope, eternal hope, let alone a multitude of blessings that are just earthly. We pray, Father, that you'd bless our invitation. Help, I pray that you would find a people in this house that are sensitive and receptive to your call. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.